Joshua chapter number 4, and I do Sunday school a little different. I'm sure that would be a shock to you that I actually do something different. I'm not going to make you talk this morning. Now, in our church, Sunday school is interactive, and they talk, and I correct them, and Brother Walton handed me an offering plate, and I'm joking, okay? I have to tell people I'm joking because people are too wound tight, and they get all sort of offended. I'm joking, okay? I'm joking when I say this next thing. I'm joking. We don't take up an offering in our church because we do it the biblical way. I'm joking. I mean, I'm not joking. We don't take up an offering, but we actually have a box in the back, and I was actually accused one time of believing in easy tithism. And yeah, it's like, hello, what does that even mean? Whatever. We do things a little different at Liberty Baptist Church because we're independent. Amen. And so everyone just take a nice deep breath. Everything's going to be fine. The sun is shining. The frost is on the pumpkin. It's all good. We're going to have a great day. And even if you don't, I'm gonna. So amen. Joshua chapter 4. Let's do this. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'll tell you another thing while you're looking up Joshua 4. I'm so excited that your pastor gets to be here this morning. And he set this up over a year ago for me to be here. And of course, that was pre-cancer. And he said, when he said to me, you know, several weeks ago, you know, I would love for you to do this and that, but I would like to preach in my pub. I said, oh my goodness, please, 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 please do that. And first of all, I need to get another message that I can take back and preach with for me. And so my wife is taking notes this morning from that. But I'm so glad he gets to be here this morning. Joshua chapter 4, look at verse number 6. We'll just start reading in verse number 1. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's begin with prayer and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of being in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, for this great church. Thank you for all that you're doing here. I pray you guide and direct us now during these next moments, that you would help us to learn what you'd have for us. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, quite a few years ago, 26 years ago, I started the Liberty Baptist Church in a town of 800 people. Now, we're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa now. It's a long story. I won't bore you with the details. But we actually moved however many years ago. I don't remember now. My bride will be able to tell us. How many years ago? Was it 12 years ago? Maybe we moved from Coggin. Longer than that. It was a long time. Don't worry about it. And so I had preached a message there in our building in Coggin, Iowa, about leaving a stack of stones. And by the way, I had planned on doing this in Sunday school and then found out, if you were listening, I found out a couple of weeks ago that Pastor Ross stood in this very pulpit and said that as you celebrate your 50th anniversary, and by the way, what a blessing that is. I think I was actually here for the 45th anniversary right before then. I wasn't actually here, but I was here before that. But what a blessing for your church to celebrate 50 years, and that in the next year, he is doing some sort of a series on stones. And before I even knew that, I was led to this particular message, or this lesson in Sunday school. My son, who is now 28, who's in my church, by the way, him and his bride, and he is a sentimentalist. And everything means something to him, right? When we were little, we were going on a trip, and he had this box, and I said, listen, we're going to travel light. We're going to travel light. And so travel light means bring underwear. That's what that means. I mean, I know y'all don't know that, but that's what it means. Travel light means bring underwear. And is this being recorded? I hope not. I don't live stream in my church because I don't want anyone to have record of what I say. And so anyway, we're getting the car all loaded up, and here comes my he was probably 5 or 6 at the time, and he's bringing this box, and I said, Andy, we're traveling light. You don't need to. I don't even know what's in the box. It doesn't matter what's in the box. We don't need a box. Is there underwear in the box? Right? And he's a very obedient child because he was either obedience or death. And so, you know, he's like, yes, sir. And I could tell he's just crushed. And I'm saying, okay, because I'm a delightful person. It's underreported, but I'm delightful, and I'm a great father, and I don't want my children to hate me or to be sad. And so I said to him, please, Andy, tell me what's in the box. He said, Daddy, every letter that you and Mommy ever wrote to me. Oh, shut up. Every letter that you and Mommy ever wrote to me is in this box. What happens? What happens if we're gone? Here's Johnny Raincloud. What happens if we're gone and the house burns down? And all of my letters are gone? I'm like, fine, bring the box. He's a sentimentalist. By the way, to this day, he has that box. And he has letters that his dad has written to him telling him how proud I am of him and how much I love him, because when I'm dead and gone, not only does he know that I love him and am proud of him, but he can prove it. Keep that in mind. That's not the lesson. So we're moving churches. We bought a building in Coggin. Now we're moving. The Lord has moved us south to where we are now. And I did not know this, but unbeknownst to me, Andy went to the back of our building. It was an old brick building, and there were bricks that were falling out of the back. Not a good thing, by the way. And he picked up a brick, which I did not know that he had done, and he took it with him. And when we celebrated our 15th anniversary of our church 11 years ago, he gave that brick to Jeremy Smith, Brother Dave Smith's son, who was here last week in this very pulpit, who is in my pulpit this morning, by the way, who Jeremy Smith is also in my church. He took this brick and he took it to Brother Smith and said, could you do something that that would be a memorial from this building? So Brother Smith took this little brick and he put it on. We used to have pews in our church, and it's a long story, but we couldn't have pews anymore because the floor wouldn't take them. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. So we have chairs now. We've gone liberal, build a bridge and get over it. And so he took a piece of pew and he put this brick on this pew, a piece of pew, and he presented it to me on our 15th anniversary. And when you walk into our church building today, you will see on the left side that memorial with that brick, with a plaque that says, leave a stack of stones. You say, Pastor, why? Why would you do that? Well, because 26 years ago, there weren't nearly as many people in our church as there are today. It was my bride and I, who looked a lot younger than I do right now, and two children, and one that wasn't even around yet. Not everybody knew what happened 26 years ago. Here's the point. We need to leave a stack of stones. I'm going to give you some principles here, and I got to hurry because I've taken too long already. But we need to leave a stack of stones because there are people who are coming after you, and they need to know what happened here before they got here. And by the way, can I just say to you, if they don't know why, it won't continue. Do you know why a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches are not standing where they once stood? Because someone failed to leave a stack of stones. Right. And somebody came in and said, you know, we're not sure why we do this, but it must not be very important because no one ever says anything. No one ever makes a big deal out of it. And so, and next thing you know, things slip back and back and back and back and back. By the way, 50 years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God you're still standing on the book. Thank God you're still, Pastor Ross is still preaching the good old time religion. Thank God your standards are still strong. Thank God you're still doing everything that you've ever done and more. So how do we leave a stack of stones? Look at verse number 2. This is real. I have an earned doctorate, but I didn't use it when I made this message. This is real practical. This is easy stuff. This is not difficult. But if you listen this morning, you're going to be reminded of what you already know. And hopefully you'll be able to do it. Number 1, look in verse number 2. Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man. Number 1, how to leave a stack of stones? Make everyone a part of it. Do you see in verse number 2? Every tribe was represented. The men led, the women and children followed close behind. And you must involve everyone. We are 26, as I said, I started the church 26 years ago. We have been in a perpetual building program. And you're looking at a guy that doesn't know a screwdriver from a hammer. That's not true. I do know a screwdriver from a hammer. But I have no skill set whatsoever when it comes to building. We bought a building 4 years ago. We did all of the work on the building ourselves, a major renovation that materials alone was over $100,000. So this will tell you how much renovation that we did. And the only thing that we hired done was putting the carpet squares in, period. And we should have done that ourselves too, as it turns out. But nonetheless, we did it pretty much all ourselves. And it wasn't just one or two people. We had children there who were 5, and we had people there who were in their 80s. You know why? Because if you're going to leave a stack of stones, you got to involve everyone. Everyone. Every tribe was represented. Every person was involved. Everyone needs to be a part. Go to verse number 3. Look at it, please. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Number 2, not only do you need to make everyone a part of it, but you need to take the stones from where you were. That's important. The stones, look at verse number 3. I'm not making this up. Look at it. Verse 3. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priests feet stood firm. Take the stones from your experiences, from your victories, from your everyday life. By the way, share those things. Share those things. Stop looking. We need to stop looking for the next great thing and experience God's goodness as it is today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Listen, I'm hoping for great things for Liberty Baptist Church in year 27 and 28 and 29. But I am not going to miss the blessings of year 26. You've got a great legacy here. What a blessing. The first time I came here was 4 or 5 years ago, and Pastor Ross knows this. Pastor Ross and I are dear friends, and we weren't always dear friends because we didn't know each other. And I decided, this is the truth. This is absolutely true. We came, the very first time we came here, my bride and I came here on purpose because we wanted to see Pastor Ross at his church preaching to his people, because I wanted to see if it was the same thing that he was doing when I was with him somewhere else. And you know what? It is. It is. He has this. This is where he is now. He's taking the stones from where you are. Listen, these moments here are going to be someone's good old days. If that doesn't make you sad, I don't know what will. Right? Remember, I look back on the good old days. Remember, and someone, my grandchildren, which do not exist yet. My grandchildren are going to look back on Liberty Baptist Church. Hopefully they're still in our church. And they're going to look back and they're going to go, man, those were the good old days. And you know why? Because someone's going to tell them. Come on. Someone's going to tell them. Someone came up to me that last night. I preached here 5 years ago, and if you remember, and most of you probably don't, but someone walked up to me and said, "Pastor Whiting, are you the one that talked about the tabernacle?" And I said, "Yes." So we had a building. We bought an old hardware store. And my great faith, because I was a great pastor starting a church, and I went and I said, "Can I rent this building?" And they said, "I'll sell it to you." I'm like, "I'd like to buy it, but I don't have any money. In fact, I didn't even have a name of a church yet." And they said, "Well, can't rent it to you, but we'll sell it to you." I'm like, "I understand English, but I don't know. I don't have any money." I was Baptist. Come on. We end up buying that building, right? We end up buying the building. And then we went down the street, and there was a building for sale. It was an old tavern. It had been closed for several years. And the building was for sale for, I don't know, multiple thousands of dollars. And I said, I think it was $18,000. I said, "You know, if God would give us that building for $10,000, I'd buy that building." A tavern? Yeah. We would, man, it was terrible. There were speed bumps on the floor where the water came down and ruined the floor. And there's a bar. There was a bar in there. Yeah. There was no electricity. The lights wouldn't work. It was a mess. I took the people down from the church, and we had to plug in a Bud Light sign to be able to look around. That's a true story. And we bought that building for $10,000. And we turned it into our children's church, and we called it our tabernacle. And listen, some of you are not enjoying this, and I don't care. Our children literally sat at the bar, on the bar. We took the bar and put it into the subflooring of the tabernacle. Our children sat on the old bar listening to the word of God being taught. People who came to Liberty Baptist Church a week ago don't know that story. Unless we tell it. People don't know. You take the stones from where you were. Take the stones from your experiences, from your victories. By the way, from the things that are challenging. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. I'm going to help you here. We're having a great time, but man, this is good stuff. Listen to me. Your church is going through this experience, this challenging time with Pastor Ross and his cancer. And you listen to me and you listen to me well. This cancer that God is allowing in your pastor's life for a reason. I'm not pretending to understand why. I don't understand why. But let me tell you something. Children and young people and old people who come here 10 years from now aren't going to know why your church is the way your church is, because they weren't here when you went through it. You walk into our church, if you're ever in the Cedar Rapids area, I would enjoy having you there, and you'll find that I'm the same way there as I am anywhere else. You'll walk in, you'll see the stack of stones on this wall. By the way, you'll also see a poem that your pastor wrote for us when he came and preached for our anniversary, and it's hanging there. And then you'll see over here, "Remember the days of old." And there's probably 25 pictures up there. A picture of a young pastor with hair that's dark, holding a little boy who's what, 2, 3, maybe older, 4, 3, 2. Man, we're old. Austin was alive, but he was weak. He was in the playpen in the nursery. He wasn't even 2. Then there's a picture of the tabernacle. And there's a picture of where we've baptized our first people. And there's a picture of when the derecho came through 2 years ago and we had church anyway. Amen. You say, "Pastor, why?" We're leaving a stack of stones. Amen. See, I'm not going to live forever. I mean, I would love to just make people irritated and live forever. But I'm not going to do it. Somebody's going to come after me, and someone's going to come after you. And you better leave a stack of stones. But not only do you bring them from where you were, but look at it. This is deep stuff. This is deep now. Verse 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. Not only take the stones from where you were, but place the stones where you are. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Stop. You can't just live in the past. You got to keep doing it today. Last night's Christmas banquet, just because you were at the one 15 years ago, if you missed the last night's banquet, you missed it. Put down memories and legacy where you are. Can I tell you, we're in a different season of our life now. All of our children are gone. I'm not complaining. But we love our children, right? But please, go. Come back, call first. Amen. Some of you will understand that down the road someday. Your mom and I are not sitting around crying for you. We have a son in Florida at college. Well, hey, Mom, Dad, what are you doing? I'm just sitting here crying. Can't believe we're all alone. Our son's calls, they have no idea where we are or what we're going to be doing. You know why? Because your mother and I are making memories today. There are a lot of people who stop living when their children leave the house. You're missing an opportunity. Can I tell you something? There's a whole bunch of folks in this room this morning who are older than me. You know who you are. It always shocks me when I say these things that people are like, me? Like, did you not look in the mirror this morning? Yes. Really? That's the line. Wow, you people. Listen to me. Seriously. You are needed.
That's right.
Your job is not done. I don't care if you have pains and aches. Talk to me about them and then get busy. Amen. Do you know that our work days, literally we had an 84-year-old man at our work days. He said, Pastor, I really can't do much. It's like, oh, but you being here is setting an example and being an encouragement to those who are not 84, but will be one day and hopefully will be doing the same things that you're doing. Stop waiting for the next big thing in your life and celebrate what God has already done. I got to hurry. Verse 3. And command ye them, saying, look at it, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Look at it. Look at this now. And ye shall carry them over with you. Have you ever noticed that before? Have you? You're more spiritual than me? Because I didn't notice that for a long time. The 12 stones they carried them with them.
Right.
Have you ever carried a stone? We named our house Cornerstone Cottage. Listen, I'm not asking you to enjoy what we do. I'm just asking you to listen to it. We have family meetings. I have a gavel. I gavel my wife out of order now. No, really, the Speaker of the Iowa House made me a gavel. My children had to make me a gavel for our family meetings. You want to talk about fun? I mean, we have government in our home from the time our children were old enough to know what that meant. I mean, I would sit at the head of the table, and now the chair recognizes the young gentleman from over here, and it's so much fun. Listen, it's fun. It's so much fun. And so, well, I have a gavel. It's fun. And we played Monopoly one time, and it turned into, not just once, but it literally, the Monopoly turned into a court battle where the gavel came out. I have a 5-year-old son, our youngest son. He wrote me a note, which I still have in my little box, by the way. He wrote me a note, and he said, I don't remember the whole thing. He said, I did this, and I did that, and all I know is I was swindled. Well, one time we had the gavel and we decided, let's name our house. Amen. I gave the boys opportunity to help and then I named it myself. Amen. You got to make them feel like they're part of it, even though they're not. So they had the bright idea, and it's a true story. You come to my house, it's true. I said, man, I'd like to have a rock. Not a rock. I don't want no pet rock. I want a rock. I want to say Cornerstone Cottage. So my children who love me said, we will get him a rock. And they went out to, I have no earthly idea. They had a tractor. They I don't know. I wasn't there. I just know it involved tractor. It involved all sorts of things. Put in on this trailer. I don't know. I don't want to exaggerate. I mean, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. I think this rock has got to be, help me out, it's got to be this wide. And it says Cornerstone Cottage. And so we backed up and they rolled it off somehow. I don't even know. And they said, where do you want it, plonk? Like, that's good. And to this day, Cornerstone Cottage, right? No matter who owns that house, unless they move the rock, it's staying. And have you ever carried a rock? It's heavy. They carried them with them because it was important. The stones were the firm footing on the journey across the river. And I say to you this morning, we need to carry the stones that have been our firm footing in our journey for so long. Stand firm on the King James Bible. Amen. Stand firm on marriage. Stand firm on principles. Stand firm on godly standards. Right. Let me tell you something. There's not that many of us left. You would think that there are, but there's not. I used to be the majority. By the way, if I ever find myself in the majority right now, I want to rethink my position. Not just because I want to be obstinate, because there's not too many people that agree with us anymore. You know why? Because they didn't bring the stones from where they were. They didn't carry them with them. Can I tell you what? When those children saw the stack of stones, I'll tell you something. Granddaddy said, you know what? I helped carry that stupid thing over here. You weren't there, Johnny, but let me tell you what happened. You didn't see it, but let me tell you what happened. There's nothing sweeter as a pastor than watching our young people go into the hallway and look at the pictures. Most of the people weren't there on some of them. You know what? Yeah. We were in that building. We were preaching the word there. And we were in that building. We met in the basement of a co-op. Had to take down and set up every single service. We literally had Sunday school in a broom closet. Never a complaint. Can I tell you something? There weren't very many people in the closet. We didn't want people coming out of the closet. In the closet. See, we have Sunday school rooms now. We have a piano that sits in place. Not as nice as this one. You're all rich here, but we just this little. But we had to roll that stupid thing in and out of the closet every service. There are people who don't know that, but there's pictures. Why? We're leaving a stack of stones. Number five. I got to hurry. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared. Number five, we must prepare now to leave a stack of stones later. It is intentional. Do things intentionally. Did you come to church this morning intentionally because you want to get something from the Word of God? Listen, I'm not in Iowa this morning. I send out a church-wide text every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and other times when I feel the need or whatever. I send a text this morning. And of course, we're an hour ahead of where we are in Iowa. And I sent a text this morning and said, sorry for the earliness of the text. I'm, you know, here in Jacksonville. They already know that. And thank you for your prayers, whatever. But I said to our church, just like I do just about every Sunday, I want you to come early. I want you to come ready. I want you to come excited. I want you to come prepared. God's going to do something great today. Amen. And if he doesn't, that's your fault. Come. Come early. Come ready. Come like the liberals, early and often. Like they vote. Just trying to help. The people were prepared. You know why you come to church tired on Saturday on Sunday morning? Because you don't go to bed on Saturday night.
Right.
No, really. I say this to our people. They don't fall for this anymore. Right? Because I've been there for 26 years. I used to say, hey, who's here this morning? Who's here this morning who's tired? And I always go, and then I go to bed! Football game that went into overtime where people complained. It's raining and snowing. Don't worry about it. We'll just move the snow. Get a little flaked here. Oh, can I tell you why? Can I tell you why we're not leaving a stack of stones? Because we're not doing it intentionally.
Right.
Intentionally. I have written my children handwritten notes over and over, letters over and over, telling them how much I love them, how proud I am of them, because I'm not living forever.
Right.
I'm leaving a stack of stones. I told my wife I loved her when I married her 31 years ago, and if it changes, I'll let her know. I'm kidding. Some of you are like, I don't know whether to laugh or cry about that. I'm in love with my wife intentionally. She's in love with me because I'm delightful. Again, underreported. By the way, I always tell my church people, if you think you don't like me as your pastor, you should try living with me. Amen. Intentional. I want my children to see how a good marriage is. Are you listening? We must prepare. It's got to be intentional. I really have to hurry. Really, really, really. Number six. I don't know. Are we number six? Whatever number you're on, let's just go with that. Verse number six. That this may be a sign among you. That when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones, that ye shall answer them that the waters are door. And it goes on and on. Number six, we need to remind people what the stack of stones mean by telling the story.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? When it comes to miracles, God's a show-off, and I love that. I serve a God who wants to do miracles.
Right.
By the way, that's not sacrilegious. That's a beautiful thing. We serve a God who's great and wonderful.
Amen.
Let's tell the story.
Yes, sir.
Look what God has done.
Come on.
Are you here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, good. Some of you don't know if you're here or not. Do you see what has happened here in the last 50 years?
Right.
Do you know that this church started in a living room? Big house! Better be a big house! Tell the story!
Amen.
Have you ever seen a miracle? Say amen.
Amen.
Tell the story!
Come on.
One of those pictures in our church is of a lady who was vibrant, vivacious, energetic. Taught Sunday school. Wonderful person. Had an aneurysm at age 45. They declared her dead. I was there when it happened. She's sitting in our church this morning. I tell that story everywhere.
Amen.
I'm going to tell another story tonight. of a miracle. You know why I believe in miracles? Because I've been part of them. Because I know it's true. And so you got to tell the story. We need to say, listen, do you see this point set up? I don't know who this point, I'm not reading it. I don't know. This is for somebody, right? Am I right about that or am I wrong? This is for somebody. This is for somebody. That's a stack of stones.
Right.
I'm done. Tell the story. Can I tell you? Relive the glory days.
Amen.
And then make some more glory days to relive.
Right.
Listen, I'm not a boring person. You know, only boring people get bored. There's never a dull day in my life. People are like, oh, I can't imagine living with you. I can't imagine having you live with me. So there we go. People say, I wish I had your energy. And I always tell people, I wish I had the energy you think I have. Right? I live life intentionally. I'm living the glory days. Do it loudly and do it often. Do it in the presence of the people, the old people. Verse 11, I don't have time because I had to hurry. Do it in front of the old people, the young people, the cynics, the supporters. There are people sitting in this room, probably not. I doubt if there's anyone in this room, but there are people who are probably dead and gone who said 50 years ago to the first Pastor Ross, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
You know how many people told me 26 years ago, Pastor Whiting, you can't start a church in a town of 800 people. Well, you're right, I can't, but God did. You know, you're going to lose your children. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. They're all in church. They all love the Lord. Two of them are in my church. By the way, those people are not prophesying. They're testifying. I want to tell the critics. I want to tell the old people, the young people. You know who I really like to tell? The supporters. My church men scare me to death. They really do, in a great way. I have to be careful what I say. If I say, you know what, man, I think we ought to do this, next thing I know, we are doing it. And sometimes, amen. Sometimes I just think out loud and go, oh my goodness.
Amen.
We were doing a project one time, and I said, you know, I'd like to have a hole in that wall. We're going to enlarge the nursery. I'd like to have a hole there someday. We really need to be careful what we, you know, there are wires and things. I'm not really bright, but I was about to get brighter if that happened. And so, the guy said to me, well, Pastor, where do you want it? Where do you want it? I got a sawzall. And that always scares me. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's pray about it, you know, whatever. Next thing I know, that looks good. I love telling the supporters. Can I tell you something? My church is going to kill me. You want to kill your pastor? Just get behind him. Carry the stones. Tell the story. Cheer him on. Whew. This place is amazing. But it won't always be if you don't leave a stack of stones. Because there is a group of people coming after you who will only know what you tell them. So tell it. Father, thank you for this day. Oh, it's been good to be here this morning already. I pray you just guide and direct us during the morning service now. Father, we'll thank you for all that you've done and what you'll do in Christ's name. Amen.